Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Leviticus chapter 11. I have a little story before I begin. I happen to be outside right now on a Starbucks patio. It's pitch dark, and where I am, it's 5:23 a.m. I'm at my parents' place right now, and we kind of have a full house in their 2-plus bedroom home down in Arizona. My daughter is staying with my parents right now too while we're here for a bit. And I would go out on the patio in the morning, although it's been really cold and actually rainy, and do the podcast early in the morning so I don't disrupt anyone out on the patio. But my parents' bedroom is near the patio, so my dad said, "Jay, can you not go on the patio to do your podcast because it's keeping me up?" And then a little while later, my daughter says, "Dad, can you not do your podcast in the living room because I'm in the den next door and you're going to wake me up?" So I am relegated to the Starbucks patio this morning so I can find a place to do this podcast. It's also coming out a little bit late because Wisconsin time is a couple hours ahead of us. So therefore, that's why these podcasts are coming out later than normal. But anyways, Leviticus chapter 11. You know, I want to encourage you, those of you, you know, who knows, some might be listening in some future date to this podcast, but those who are going through the journey with us, stick with this journey of going through the whole scriptures. That's really what this podcast is designed to teach on every chapter of the Bible and encourage people over a period of 3 years to study the Bible one chapter at a time. There is such great wisdom in the Word of God. And granted, there are some books of the Bible that are harder to read or than others. It just takes a little bit more of a gut check. It takes a little bit more stamina, persistence to get through them. But I'm telling you, there is beauty to be learned in every chapter of the Bible. So seek the Lord and you will find. And this morning, I think we have some very significant things to talk about. So without further ado, this chapter is obviously in the Old Covenant, and Moses is receiving the law from God to now write and deliver to God's people. And today is largely about dietary restrictions. And, you know, we don't know everything as to why God ordained that there'd be these certain things that the Israelites were to eat and certain things that the Israelites were not to eat. And I'm going to summarize some of that in a moment. But, you know, this is written thousands of years ago, and perhaps there were other nations, other people groups that worshipped to different kind of animals or ate animals that God would consider unclean. And God was trying to find a way to separate his people, and he wanted them to live for him and to live holy. He also wants to protect them. I mean, as we'll see in some of the restrictions, like if you touched a dead animal, you were unclean and you needed to wash and stay away from people for a day. You know, think of the disease, you know, we just went through, you know, the COVID thing a number of years back or a few years back. And, you know, they were familiar in that day with diseases and people getting sick. And God wanted to prevent his people from getting sick. So he made up rules and laws that would, you know, if people were around something that was dead or possibly diseased, hey, it's just best that we keep the nation safe for a little while and let that person wash, stay away from people for a day, and then come back together again. So, you know, I just think that we should trust the wisdom of God as to why he did what he did. And there are times, again, like I guess pork, I'm not a big food expert, but my understanding is that pork, especially raw pork, which some pagan nations apparently ate meat raw, and pork would be something that would be dangerous to eat raw. It needs to be cooked well. And in fact, you know, pork is more of a danger to eat that's not cooked well than other meat. You might be able to get away with eating some other meat that's not cooked well, but pork is something you need to really make sure you cook well. So God had them just stay away from that. And I think it's just to keep them safe and to keep them healthy, and also to, again, separate themselves from other nations. So that is part of the restriction. Let's just review some of this. Verse 3, whatever divides a hoof, thus making split hoofs, and choose the cud among the animals that you may eat. So animals that have a split hoof and eat the cud, or like eat, you know, plants like a cow, that kind of stuff you may eat. But there are some animals that would eat plants and had a split hoof that they weren't to eat. So now God says, you know what? One of those is the camel. You know, it doesn't eat, obviously a camel doesn't eat meat. It eats the cud and has a split hoof, but you're not supposed to eat that. And there's other animals as you'd go through that God said, although it's similar to a cow in some things, like a pig, a pig has a split hoof and it doesn't eat meat, but it was considered unclean and they were not supposed to eat. Also in verse 8, it says, you shall not eat of their flesh nor touch their carcasses. They are unclean to you. So God was wanting them to stay away from, you know, dead animals. Then he gets into the sea and basically all the fish and all the things of the sea that we could eat. But there are things that didn't have fins and scales that we were not to eat. That might be like shrimp or squid or, again, not considering myself an ocean expert on what animals have fins and scales and what doesn't. But that's how God separated them. And some were considered clean and others unclean. Then he gets into birds, and you know, some of them are pretty obvious, or maybe it's why we don't eat them today, but like the eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the kite, the falcon, you know, all that kind of stuff, the ostrich, the owls, we're not supposed to eat those. I don't know people that eat those kind of things, but all other things that flew, they could eat, but some of those things could not eat. There's even insects that they could eat, and it appears that they could eat locusts, but there were certain types of insects that they were not able to eat. Here we get into the carcasses in verse 24. Moreover, you will be made unclean. Whoever touches their carcasses becomes unclean until evening, and whoever picks up any of their carcasses shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. So there you have it. He's trying to keep them away from dead things that were unclean. Moving on, he gets into lizards and crocodiles and different reptiles and what they were to eat and not eat. And, you know, all of this leads to, as we get to later in the chapter, listen to what it says in verse 43. Do not render yourselves detestable through any of the swarming things that swarm, and you shall not make yourselves unclean with them so that you become unclean. And then it says this, and this is what this is all about. For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. And you shall not make yourselves unclean with any of the swarming things that swarm on the earth, for I am the Lord your God who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God. Thus you shall be holy, for I am holy. God desires our holiness, and these restrictions were a way for Israel to live an honorable and holy life before God, and it was something that was important in the Old Testament. Now we're going to go for a deeper, more significant understanding and how this relates to us today. So those of you who have been going through the journey, some of this will really make sense. Those of you who are new to the Bible, this might be new learning this morning. There are two covenants in the Bible. Well, that's not true. There are two main covenants in the Bible. One would be the Old Covenant that we're reading about now, the laws that were given to Moses from God for the people to follow. It might be called, in other terms, the Mosaic Covenant, the Law of Moses, the Torah, and that's the Old Covenant, and that lasted for many, many, many years that the people had to follow. Wow. I said wow because although I'm not too far from a highway, I didn't realize there was a railroad that was nearby and a big train just went by. But anyways, we are now in the New Covenant, which was prophesied to come many years later. In fact, Jeremiah, some 600-700 years before Jesus came, said one day God's going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel, and not like the covenant that they broke when I brought them out of Egypt. And that's the covenant that we're reading about now. So today we have a new agreement from God, and it's written about since the time of Jesus, and it's called the New Covenant, and things have changed in the New Covenant. Now, it's important to understand when you look at your Bible. The Bible is, you know, two main parts, the old and the new. And the foundation of the Bible is the old covenant. But now, if you picture this, the new covenant is on top of that old covenant. It's above it, so to speak. It's the way that we live for God now. So in order to understand now how the old covenant applies, we look through the new. So the new covenant today tells us what still applies and what does not apply, or how we are to view the old covenant rules and laws. And much has changed. And this is something that a lot of people don't know. And as a result, they get confused when studying the Bible. Well, that's kind of funny, actually. Maybe you can't always tell, but I hit the pause button. I saw this train go by, and then there was another train that was parked, and it had its lights on. And apparently, they must have been using the same rail, but they were going in a different direction. So once that other train went by, then this other train had to get this big, long train moving, and it started up, and you know what? I don't know. The devil's trying to stop us from getting through this, but we're not going to allow that to happen, because there's some really great things in store in this teaching this morning from God's Word. Listen, I want to tell you an interesting story. So the Apostle Peter, he was a Jew, and the apostles were Jewish, and they had to learn that things were changing, and it was hard for them because they had always grown up and honored God through these dietary restrictions. But there's an incredible story that happens in the New Testament in the book of Acts when God is helping Peter, one of Jesus's closest disciples, understand that these rules are changing. So Peter is in a house in Joppa. And there's actually going to be some Gentiles. And one of the ways that separated a Jew from a Gentile was through their dietary restrictions. So you could say, like, a Jew wouldn't be eating all these things, and they would look at the Gentiles poorly and say, oh, look at the Gentiles. They eat all these foods. Well, us Jews, we only eat the things that God prescribed. So this was one significant way of differentiating between a Jew and a Gentile in the days of Jesus. So this is all existing at that time. And on the next day, as there's some Gentiles approaching Peter's house, and they wouldn't even necessarily associate with each other. So if a Gentile came to Peter's house, he would likely turn them away because they separated themselves from Gentiles. Gentiles were everyone who was not a Jew. So listen to this. On the next day, as the Gentiles were on their way, they were coming to Peter's house and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. But he became hungry, and he was desiring to eat. So he's got having hunger pains. But while they were making preparations, LOL, a third train went by in a matter of like 10 minutes. But anyways, Peter is up on this house, and he saw the sky opened, and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by the four corners to the ground. So picture him, he's in a trance up on this top of a house overlooking the sea, and he sees a sheet, like a bed sheet as an example, in the sky, and it's being lowered by the four corners, and it's coming down to the ground where he can see. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth, and birds of the air. Now, there were all kinds, and they were clean and unclean animals. So there were things that would be considered what a Jew could eat, and there were things there that a Jew would be considered they shouldn't eat, from what we just read in Leviticus this morning. and a voice came to him. So now Peter hears a voice. Get up, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean. And again a voice came to him a second time. What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now, while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, these Gentiles, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate, and calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, this is God's Spirit now, behold, three men are looking for you, but get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself. Now, like I said, these Gentiles who are coming to Peter's, where Peter's staying, he wouldn't normally go with them or be with them, but God is using this entire vision not only to change what's clean and unclean as far as dietary, but also for not there not to be a separation between Jew and Gentile anymore, because now what's important is whether you believe in Jesus. That's what makes you part of the family of God, not whether you were formerly a Jew or formerly a Gentile, or whether you eat pork or shrimp, or whether you don't eat pork. What matters now is not the Old Testament laws, but rather believing in Jesus. So listen, let's keep going. Peter went down to the men and said, behold, I am the one you were looking for. What is the reason for which you have come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, although a Gentile, by the way, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you. So he invited them in and gave them lodging. So Peter actually invited them in, and they stayed in his house, which would be normally not something you would do. So this was the beginning of what was going to be understood now, that God was changing how, as a Christian, we are to view Old Testament laws. Now listen, it doesn't mean that all Old Testament laws aren't to be considered anymore. But what we have to do is we have to look at how the New Testament teaches us to look at specific Old Testament laws. Some are no longer binding. Some are. God still is desiring that we would be holy. And sexual immorality, as an example, was something in the Old Testament that we shouldn't be taking part of. And God actually, through Jesus, made sexual immorality even more stringent today, and that's something so sad that we have lost. But now Jesus said even to lust after someone is like committing adultery. So not all things, Jesus said, being angry with your brother is like committing murder. So there are some things that God is setting a higher standard for in the New Testament, but there are many things that are no longer binding, and these dietary restrictions are one of them. Now, I want to take you to some other passages in the Bible that are going to help illustrate this for us. This is such an important teaching. Listen to what Jesus said, by the way, because he began hinting to this when he was walking the earth. And if you turn with me, or I'll turn there and you can just listen, but if you turn to Matthew 15, Jesus began to indicate this same kind of principle when he said to them this in verse 10, and Jesus called the crowd to him, and he said to them, hear and understand, it is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man. And the Jews' apostles that Jesus was investing into, they had questions like, well, Jesus, what do you mean by that? I mean, don't we have to follow the, you know, like what we're reading about in Leviticus this morning? And this is what he said later in that passage. Peter said to him, explain this parable to us, Jesus. Are you still lacking in understanding also? Jesus said to Peter, do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated. Obviously, we go to the bathroom, and he's like, that doesn't really matter what goes into the mouth, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. He was getting criticized that they didn't wash correctly according to Jewish Old Testament practices prior to eating. And Jesus is beginning to indicate that, you know what, all these things don't matter. Really, what you need to be more concerned about what's going on in your heart and what comes out of your mouth, because those are connected, and that is what's going to indicate whether you're really living to please God or holy or not. So we should have a close rein on our tongues. Now, this teaching that I'm giving you this morning is talked about in many places in the Bible, but an important one is in Romans 14, and I'd like to turn there with you. Romans 14, we could pick it up in verse 5. You know, one of the things that's talked about in the Old Covenant too is whether you should have a Sabbath or not. Now, we've talked about that a lot in these podcasts and various different places, but you know, whether we need to honor the Saturday Sabbath and do no work on a Saturday. Well, now Christians meet for church on Sundays, the day that Jesus rose from the dead, the first day of the week. And we do that partially to differentiate ourselves from the Jews who met on Saturdays. But you know, Jesus made many changes to the Sabbath. And listen to what it says here in Romans 14. This is the Apostle Paul. One person regards one day above another, like as an example, a Sabbath. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day, like a Sabbath as an example, observes it for the Lord. And he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat and give thanks to God. So basically, some people may say, you know what, I still want to honor the Lord on a Sabbath. Or, you know what, I don't want to eat pork because I think God set it up in the Old Testament for a reason. So I just choose not to eat pork anymore. Or I think Sabbath is a really good idea. So on Saturday, I don't do any work. Or on Sunday, I don't do any work. And I do that to honor the Lord. And that's okay. It's okay to have those personal convictions. But it's no longer a law that's binding on everybody. Listen to what it says here. Verse 7, for not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both for the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? Like, let's say, as an example, I believed in honoring the Lord and having a Saturday Sabbath, and you didn't. And therefore, I'm like, you know what? You're less holy than me, and I judge you for it. Or I don't eat pork and shrimp, and you do. And I say, you know what? I don't really think that person cares much for God because he eats pork and shrimp. And Paul's saying we shouldn't do that. Like, if you have a personal conviction about an Old Testament law you want to follow, that's fine, but don't judge others for what has become a personal conviction for you. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall give praise to God. And that's something that's going to be true. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. So, you know, listen, all of us are going to have to give an account personally to God one day. Therefore, let us not, verse 13, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to be an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. Now listen to this, very important, verse 14. I know and am convinced, the Apostle Paul says, in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. That's a big statement, by the way. He's basically saying that all those food restrictions, nothing really is unclean anymore. But listen to what it says. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So, if you have a conviction, as an example, that you should not eat pork or shrimp, then don't. But it's not unclean anymore in itself. but it is if you think it is. As an example, you know, one that probably pertains more to our day, there are people who really believe alcohol drinking of any alcohol is sin, and that really a Christian shouldn't do it, and they have that conviction to not drink of alcohol. And for them to drink then is a sin. Or as an example, what if you've had a problem with alcohol and you've abused it? For you, it very well may be a sin to partake of alcohol because you've really struggled and it's taken ownership over you. But that doesn't necessarily mean it is for everyone else. I mean, I've perhaps confessed in this podcast, I know many times at church, that in my prior Christian days, I had a problem with gambling. I used to really like casinos. I played cards with my friends all the time. And I ended up, you know, gambling essentially in the stock market, even as an early Christian. You know, this goes back over 20 years. And I lost a lot of money because of kind of having a gambling mentality in the stock market, doing it legally but not responsibly. And after that time, which was around the year 2000, God really did a work in me. And now I have not been to a casino in over 20 years because I just don't feel for me it's appropriate because I had a problem with that in the past. But I don't think casinos are a great thing, by the way, or gambling for that matter. But, you know, some may do it, you know, once a year and spend $50, and it's probably not an issue for them. But that's something you got to let the Lord, you know, give you judgment on as to whether something is an issue for you that he would like you to stay away from. And it also is something that we should look out for other people. So as an example, although I partake of alcohol, I do it responsibly. I don't believe in drunkenness. And if we're around someone who has struggled with it, we should abstain in their midst, because why do we want to give someone who's had a challenge with it, give them any more of a challenge? And, you know, some people have so much conquered their problem with alcohol that they can be around it and it's not an issue. But let's say there's someone who's really struggling, and if you abstain in their presence to help them, that's a good thing. Because listen to what it says here in verse 15. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. What's being said there is that, let's say someone has a major conviction about pork or shrimp, and it really bothers them and you're around them, you may want to not have pork or shrimp in their midst just to honor your brother. Doesn't mean that you can't have it, but it may be something that you could do for them. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to say, because you're trying to honor someone you're in the midst of who struggles with a certain area, that you have to say it's bad for you or that you can't do it ever. You just may not want to do it in their midst to honor them. But listen to what it says here then. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, so the kingdom of God is really not about all these eating and drinking restrictions, but rather having peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things, listen to this, here the Apostle Paul again makes this really clear. All things indeed are clean. Again, that's a massive statement. But they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. That's kind of what I've been referring to in the past. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. So let's say you feel a conviction about your alcohol drinking, or you feel a conviction about gambling, or you feel a conviction about a manner in which you're eating that is inappropriate. Maybe you're being gluttonous or overeating, and that's considered a sin in the Bible. Well, if you have a conviction about that, you're actually sinning if you don't honor the Lord in the conviction that God is giving you. But if you're like, you know what, I love Jesus and I'm free and in these areas, I'm no longer under the law, and God's not giving you a conviction, and you're not sinning, meaning like we shouldn't use this as an excuse to say, well, I'm going to be irresponsible gambling, or I'm going to be irresponsible in my alcoholic drinking, and I get drunk and I'm free. I can do what I want. No, where it's clear that something's a sin, like drunkenness as an example, we need to not partake of it. But he is saying that, you know what? You are free in these areas now, as long as you're not crossing over into sin. So, we have a freedom from Old Testament law, but we should be sensitive to God to hear what God has to say to us regarding personal conviction in specific areas. But aren't you glad that you live under this new covenant of grace now where we don't have all of these laws anymore that we have to live by? Now, I kind of hesitate when I say that because that doesn't mean, and I've already mentioned it, regarding sexual immorality and being angry with your brother. We do need to understand the whole counsel of God's word. And the New Testament will give us the lens at which to see what is honorable to God and what is not honorable to God. But we indeed are not under the law anymore. Now, there are many other verses that would touch on this. Listen to this one real quick. Whatever then you eat or drink and whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. That's 1 Corinthians 10:31. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 8:8-13 says. It's kind of separated by some verses there. But food will not commend us to God. We neither lack if we do not eat, nor abound if we do eat. Therefore, again, it says, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, ever, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. So it says two different things there, do you see? First of all, it doesn't really matter before God what you eat or don't eat. However, I'm going to be concerned about my fellow brothers and sisters when I'm in their midst. And, you know, there are many times that, you know, as a pastor, if I'm in a group setting, and even if there's alcohol served, there are many times I just don't partake because I just want to be righteous and I want to live rightly. I don't want to give any reason for others to stumble. But there are people who I've known for a long time and, you know, I have had alcohol in their midst, not drunkenness. I believe very much against that. And so I kind of pick and choose and I do what I feel is right in the situation that I'm in, because I do want to honor the Lord, but yet I'm free as long as I don't partake of things that lead me into sin. So, boy, there's a lot there. There's so many more verses we could cover, but we live under a new covenant now, and it's important we understand the whole Bible, because that way we will understand how to apply these things to our lives. So I hope you were encouraged and given better understanding through this teaching today, despite the planes, trains, and automobiles. God bless you all.